Okay, here we go. It's working. Okay. Hey, I've got to learn at some point. Okay, let's pray and we'll get going. Father, I love you. I thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for being good to us. It's been a crazy couple weeks, and the marriage conference was great. That seems like an eternity ago. Being able to go to the discipleship conference and spend some time with Paige was great, and I'm just really glad to be back with our people, Lord. And I just thank you for what you're doing at Heartland. There's a really good work going on here, and Lord, I know you're getting the glory. I thank you for the Passpoint class, and these people are busy about your work, and just hearing about, you know, just the evangelism that's going on in our personal lives, and I pray that we're lifting those things up. Lord, I do pray for the situation with the accident earlier this week, and you know, I think the kid's name was Noah, and I just pray that you just allow him to heal. And so, Lord, I pray that the gospel is manifest through the situation, and that you get the glory no matter what, Lord. And so, Lord, I pray you'd speak to us today as we get back into your word. This is what matters. And so I pray that you would just put me out of the way. There's a lot of things I want to say, but I just pray that your word is preeminent. It is the thing that matters the most, and that you would just get the glory for all of it. I pray for all the events. I pray we would invite people. I hope that there's so many people at the pickleball thing that we don't even get to play because there's so many guests there. Because, Lord, I want people to know you and just get in on this while there's time because, man, you're so good to us, Lord. So I pray you'd speak to us today. You know, just be with the VBS meeting later. I know it's a really important investment of what we do at Heartland, and I pray you get the glory for all of it. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, if you got your Bibles, open up to Acts chapter 13. I would like to tell you that, hey, we've been here for 2 weeks. We've had 2 weeks off so that we would get done with this, but I really just don't think it's going to happen. And so maybe if I say it's not going to happen, then it will. I don't know. But I'll do the review very quickly, the stuff that we have been in, and then hopefully we get into some fresh stuff. But it ties right into what we're talking about with personal evangelism. Hang on. I want to make sure this is working because it's off. No, it's working. Okay. I just want to make sure. Okay. Sorry. People listen to this for some reason. Like, I understand people come to church and they're like, well, I got to go to class since I'm at church. But, like, people search this out, like not just me, but the recordings from what we do. And so I'm like, I want to make sure it's available. So anyway, it floors me that people, I don't know. Anyway, let's just get into the word. Acts chapter 13. Let's just jump into this and then we'll pick up from there. So it says, now there were certain that was at Antioch. Now remember Antioch was the church that they had, you know, started there in the book of Acts. Certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Now, this is like the first big missionary call. We know this from, you know, a lot of the teaching we've seen. But anyway, let's just keep reading. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. So they, being Barnabas and Saul, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed into to Seleucia, and from thence they sailed into Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. So John Mark, you'll find out, went with them. And we're not going to be able to get to that, but that's a really important point as we move through the rest of the book of Acts, that John Mark went with them. And we'll actually find out at the end of the chapter that he ends up going back. And so there's a lot of teaching that goes into that, and I want you to see that. But just for now, just know that Barnabas and Saul went, and they took this guy with them. It's kind of like a discipleship thing. Hey, you're a younger guy in the Lord. Come with us. Just see what's going on. See what the work looks like. And so they took John Mark with them. So let's just stop there. I want to get farther. But anyway, so a few weeks ago, we started this. The title was Pattern of Personal Evangelism. And we're just kind of, coincidentally enough, it was the last time we did I Go. So that it's been a month since we started this, and then I was gone for 2 weeks. But anyway, Acts is a very transitional book. You know, we're transitioning from Jesus being on the scene to now being resurrected and living inside the hearts of the believers through the Holy Spirit. You know, we're transitioning from it being a very Jewish-centric gospel to now we've made the transition into getting the gospel to the Gentiles. We're transitioning from the Old Testament to now the New Testament. There's a lot of transitions. There's a lot of things changing, so we have to be careful as we work our way through the book of Acts on what doctrine we we grab onto, and just making sure we rightly divide the word. And I think we understand that, but I just want to make sure that I say that, because if I don't say that Acts is transitional every single time that I teach, somebody will take something that I said or something that they read and want to apply it, and then it's going to be off. So we just need to make sure that we really grasp what's going on here. And then also understand that, yes, this is what's going on. This is the first missionary journey of Paul and Barnabas. And so you might be like, why does that matter to me? Well, I understand. That was a long time ago, and they're not even alive anymore. My goal and past point is always to take what the Word of God says and make it apply to us today. If you ever walk out of here on a Sunday and you're like, well, that's really cool information, but why does that matter to me? Then I failed with what God has called me to do in past point. And so, you know, as we look through this, this is what I've found, you know, in this passage, is there's just this pattern of what personal evangelism should look like. And that's kind of what we started working our way through. So Paul wastes no time showing us this pattern of what a New Testament believer's lifestyle should look like. And again, I've spent 2 weeks teaching this already. So I'm going to move very quickly if you're going to fill in your blanks so I can get to some fresh stuff. So I know it's going to seem like it's been a while. So anyway, teaching point number one, a Christian living life without personal evangelism is not walking in the perfect will of God. They're just not. If you're not evangelizing somehow, some way with the life that God has given you, then you are not walking in the perfect will of God. You might be, you know, doing some good things. You're working in the ministry. So, you know, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, you know, says you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You might be in the good will of God, but you're not in the perfect will of God. So you have to have evangelism as part of what we're doing. Evangelism doesn't have to be some weird, scary encounter with lost people, by the way. Did you know that you can just, like, chat with people about... You know, so we had a really good opportunity while we were gone. We played golf a couple of times while we were down there in the afternoons while there was no teaching. And then also on the way back, and we got to play golf with some people. And, you know, it's just like, well, where are you from? Well, not from here. Well, why are you here? Oh, let me tell you. Like, I'm here for a conference. Oh, for work? Well, no, not really. I actually build houses for a living. But I'm down here for a conference at a church, you know, and your lifestyle lends you the opportunity to share the gospel with people if you take it. The problem is most of us, we see them and we're just like, yeah, maybe not though. And we just kind of walk around the open doors that God gives us. I didn't share the absolute gospel with any of those people, but you know what they knew? That there was something different about the lifestyle that we were living, that we were taking time away from our normal lives, like, you know, talking about, you know, we build houses for a living and things, but yet I'm here for a conference at the church because, you know, I pastor at a church as well, and, you know, why would you do that? Oh, well, because God's changed my life. That's why I would do that. Like, because that's what we do. And so anyway, it doesn't have to be some scary encounter with lost people. You're just telling them why you do what you do. Like, we just live for the Lord, right? That's what we do. And so anyway, let me ask you a question. Did God change your life? The answer is yes. If you're saved today, God changed your life. And so if that's the case, don't you want to see others have their lives changed as well? I mean, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you want people to be saved? Now, we get away for a couple weeks, and I can't wait to get back because I'm like, it just fires me up. It's kind of like going on a mission trip, and this wasn't even a mission trip. I just went and heard some teaching, but you know what else I saw? That there are so many other believers in other parts of even the country, and I'm like, man, I got to get the people around here that don't know the Lord. We got to get them the gospel while there's time. It's crazy, like the fact that you go somewhere and you see it there, and you're just like, well, I gotta do this. I'm not doing a good enough job, and so. Anyway, teaching point number two, keeping the gospel to yourself is like keeping the cure to cancer to yourself. You have the cure to death in the lake of fire for eternity. And yet you're just like, yeah, but it's just hard and I just don't really want to, you know. And, come on now. You can go back and listen to it. So, okay, here's what we got to get into. 7 points to a pattern of personal evangelism as we go through this. And so in the first couple verses, there was this lifestyle of faithfulness. I'm going to move quickly. You know, that's what we saw, this lifestyle of faithfulness. Evangelism is just one part of a faithful Christian walk. It takes multiple aspects to make it work. You can't only evangelize, and just like you can't only disciple. You know, we talked a lot about this at this discipleship conference we were at, and it was so good. And, you know, because I know we're busy, and you probably won't go back and listen to what I asked you guys, or I told you should listen to, Joe McCaig on the first night, like, I know we know this, but he hit this point so good. Like, a lot of times we think, oh yeah, we know discipleship is, you know, the imparting of life into other people. Yes, we understand that. And we use 16 lessons or however that looks. And yeah, we do that. We get together and, you know, we impart, you know, the knowledge that we know into these people's lives. But he said it, and I'm like, I know this, But the way he said it was just like, whoa. You know, you ever heard, you seen something like that before? So he was talking about, you know, we use these lessons, they're a tool, and we use them to give the knowledge into the people, you know, because they're wanting to learn. That's what discipleship is. You're learning the basic doctrines of the Word of God. And but he likened it to this. He's like, if you're only meeting with your disciple once a week or once every couple weeks, and you're sitting down and you're going through the lesson, and you're like, hey, you need to memorize these verses, and you need to fill out this stuff in the back of the book, and it's a tool, right? It is very good, and that's what. But if that's the only relationship you have with your disciple, here's what it's going to look like. It would be like, so a new believer, somebody who's going through discipleship is usually a new believer, or somebody who has come from a different church and they're at least going through it to make sure that all the doctrine lines up. Okay, so, but a new believer is typically somebody that's younger in the Lord. They're learning how to do what? They're babes in Christ. They're learning how to walk. It would be like sitting down with your young child, right? It would be like, so Kate, she's not in here. I really wish she was because I haven't seen her forever. I feel like she's going to forget who I was. So Kate's getting ready to start crawling, and then soon enough she's going to start walking, right? Because that's what they do. She's already almost a year old. It's insane. It would be like Austin and Lauren, you know, when she gets a little bit older, like taking Kate for an hour once a week and saying, hey, this is how you walk, and trying to explain it to her in English that she doesn't really understand. It's the same thing, by the way, when you're discipling somebody. A lot of times you're using English that they don't understand. You're using words like discipleship and sanctification and all these other things. And you're like, can you, wait a minute, say it in a way that I understand it, right? So it's the same thing. It would be like them saying, you know, just do this, Kate. And she's just like, I don't understand you, for one. And it would be like, so what's what we're going to do? I'm going to meet with you once a week for 16, 18, 20 weeks. And I'm going to tell you how to do this. And I may even show you a few things along the way. And then when we're done, I've given you everything that I know. So go do it. I mean, do we really expect a child to just be like, oh, okay, I'll do that? No. Discipleship is just a tool. The lessons are just a tool to use as you walk with them for sometimes years, because it takes time. If you're just trying to rush somebody through something, you're not grasping it. And he said it much more eloquently, because he does and I don't, but that was the gist of it. And I'm just like, wow, like I know that. And I think we try to do that, but man, and he also used, and I feel like now I'm just telling you everything I learned at the conference, but you know, the fact that if we're trying to impart knowledge before we ever impart virtue, then it's a waste of time. Because if virtue isn't lived out, who cares if they have the knowledge, right? And virtue is just simply like the basics, you know? And so, you know, why do we do what we do? And so anyway, go back and listen to those things. It was so good. But, you know, it's the same type of thing. Like, we can't just have one part, you know, in this pattern of evangelism. You can't just have evangelism in your life. You know, well, I'm just an evangelist. Well, praise the Lord, you're an evangelist. You still need to disciple people, right? You still need to work in the ministry. It's a well-balanced lifestyle. You can't only eat meat. I mean, I know there's the carnivore diet and you can do it for a while, but I promise you can't do that forever. You can't only eat vegetables. At some point, there has to be a balanced diet to the way that you live your Christian life. And yes, evangelism is part of that. And so if evangelism is not part of that, I'm telling you, you are not walking in the perfect will of God. You can't be. Because the Word of God says that you have to. Right? We all know people that they might know about Jesus, but they don't know Him. You know, I can know a lot about Pat Mahomes, but the dude's not going to know who I am if I'm like, hey, it's really cool to meet you. He's going to be like, who are you? There's going to be a lot of people that stand at the great white throne, and they're going to be like, man, Jesus, it's great to meet you. And he's going to be like, man, this is the first time I met you. And it was never before this. You knew a lot about me, but you never knew me. At some point, the knowledge has to become virtue. Because if it's only knowledge, there's going to be a lot of people in hell that knew a lot about Jesus. But at some point, you have to give Him your life. And it starts with evangelism. So, you know, if you're going to do those things, you've got to be faithful to all the things. And the Word, faithful to church, faithful, you know, you have to have a testimony of faithfulness to the ministry, all these different things. Teaching point number three, personal evangelism will be ineffective without a testimony of faithfulness to back it up. You just will. Okay, number two, know that you're called. Like, do you know that you're called? You should. Do you know that you're called? Do you know that you're set apart, meaning sanctified? Like, you're not just, you haven't arrived, but you are set apart now. You should look different than the world. Do you know that the Lord desires to use you? If you don't know these things to be true, you're probably never going to evangelize. Right? You just won't. 1 Corinthians 7, 20-24, I don't have time to go there. Romans 8, 30, you can jot those down if you want. But I'm telling you, God has called us to get the gospel to the world while there's still time. Romans 10, 14 says what? It says, how are they going to hear without a preacher? Right? How are they going to hear? I talked to Thomas Harding. I got to see a lot of people that I hadn't seen in a while at the conference. He's a church planter in Portland, Oregon. That's the last place, I won't say the last place, that's one of the last places in the world I've gone to plant a church. It's a hard field. He told me, I sat with him at lunch one day, and he told me, he's like, you know, they say, he's like, I don't know who they are, but he says, they say that 80% of people in California have never heard the gospel. And I'm like, well, even if they are wrong and it's only 50%, that's a lot of people. You know, because his heart is, you know, obviously to plant a church in Portland, but to move south and to California. That's crazy, right? How are they going to hear if somebody doesn't tell them? The same way that, how's your neighbor going to know if you don't tell them? They just know that you get up and go to church on Sunday. Well, that's cool for you. Why do you do that? I don't know. Have you ever told them why you do that? Have you ever told them why you live a lifestyle that's different? That's on you. It's not the church's job. It's just not. Teaching point four, having a mindset of if I don't evangelize, it's okay because God will get them the gospel through someone else. That should terrify you. Right? That should scare you. If you know that you're called but you still don't go, you know what that's called? Disobedience. If you know God said do this and you're just like, I don't have time, that's on you. That's not on Him. At all. That's on us. Like, if you know that you're called, you know, how many Old Testament promises? We're reading through the Bible together. I pray that that's going well. I haven't done a very good job of checking in. Like, if you've fallen off the reading plan, here's what I want you to do. Get off the I need to catch up train and pick up tomorrow. I think it's week 11. 12. Week 12. I can't remember. Yeah. Yeah, we're starting the book of Judges. Just whatever you're behind, if you want to catch up, do that on your own time. Start tomorrow and pick it up there and let's just go through it. Like, it's so good to just know that you're going through what everybody else is going through. We're all reading the same thing together. So do that for me. If you're behind, like, get off the I need to catch up train. And if you want to catch up, do that in your free time otherwise. But pick up in Judges chapter 1 tomorrow. Okay? And if you don't have the reading plan for whatever reason, let me know, and I'll get it to you. Because that's what we're doing this year. We're reading through it together. So anyway, how many of the Old Testament promises was God like, if you'll do this, then I'll do this? Like, they're conditional, right? You won't lose your salvation, by the way, if you don't evangelize. I'm not saying that at all. But you know what you will lose? Your inheritance. You'll be in heaven, but the inheritance is not the same, right? Don't just assume that God's going to use someone else when He has called you. Number three, know that you're sent. Okay, it's a lot like the last point, but know this. Teaching point five, God will not call you and never send you. And you might be like, oh, I don't want to be sent. Okay, I'm not saying being sent to be a church planter, to be a missionary. Maybe I am. Maybe if that's you, you know the call. What I'm saying is you're sent to somebody. You work with people. You see people. You eat lunch with people. You pass people daily. I'm telling you, you are sent. Get them the gospel. Evangelize to them. If they don't hear it, you know what? That's okay. We'll get to that next week because I'm not going to get there. That's not on you. Results are not on you. You're just simply called to be obedient, to share the word. And then you know what God's going to say? Well done, my good and faithful servant. If every person that you ever shared the gospel with you in your entire life was like, you're a fool, I don't want to believe it, and they laughed at you, you know what God's going to tell you? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I don't care what they say if God's going to tell me that. Like, that's what fires me up. Who cares what they say? I mean, I do care because I want them to get saved. But if they want to deny it, okay. You're just planting seed. You never know what's going to grow, right? It's like springtime all of a sudden. Like, actually, it's summertime all of a sudden, you know, in the same week that it was wintertime. But crazy. But, you know, there's like all these flowers like popping up. I'm like, where'd that come from? I didn't plant it. It's a seed from last year because we didn't pull up the stuff from last year. So, you know, it's like the dead stuff that like died off and then it fell on the ground and they're just like growing on their own. And that's the gospel is like that, you know. Sometimes you throw it down and they didn't want to hear it. And then the next thing you know, it's growing. Why? Because somebody else watered it. And then, you know, God gets the increase. It's crazy how that works. Stop thinking that the evangelism needs to be results focused. You know, it's just about getting the word reason to go. God will not call you and never send you. Matthew 28:19-20, Mark 16:15, Acts 1:8, they all say basically the same thing. Go tell somebody, you know, okay? When you take the step of faith and start talking to someone about the Lord, do it boldly. Don't be timid. Don't be like, yeah, you know, like, do it boldly. You have to. Like, teaching point six, you were sent to be there, okay? That's why you need to be bold about sharing. God uses sent ones, not went ones. You know, don't just decide you're going to go do things on your own. Like, do it through God's structure. Today, Easter's in a couple weeks, right? They're going to hand out flyers today. And you know what the cool thing is? You don't have to take any of them. But you know, they're going to hand out flyers that some people are going to go out this afternoon and hand these out. Some people, like, do it through the week. They're just flyers. You know what they are? It's just like telling people that, hey, we're going to have Easter service here. And if you want to come, that'd be cool. You know, so like the neighbor that you just can't bring yourself to talk to, like, go knock on the door and just be like, hey, we're having Easter service. It'd be really cool if you came. And if that's all you said, like, shame on us for that being all we would say. But, you know, at least you're inviting people. Like, that's what I'm talking about. Do it boldly. And by the way, I want to make sure Passpoint understands this. They're going to hand these things out today during service. If you don't want any, don't take any. It's not like a ploy to get people to take these. Like, there are people who actually want to hand these out, and there's only so many of them we printed. So if you're not going to hand them out, please pass them on to somebody else. I want these in the hands of somebody who's actually going to give them to somebody. And so, anyway. Okay. Okay, so the next point, number four. I think that's as far as we've gotten. Is that right? Or, I don't know. I think this is new. So nobody knows. It's been so long. Okay. Somebody knows. Somebody's listening. It's all good. Okay, number four. The fourth step in a pattern of personal evangelism. Preach the Word of God. Please, like, from the bottom of my heart, preach the Word of God to somebody. I'm really, and I don't get like this very often, you know, and I guess I am kind of turned into an old man, and, like, you know, old man, like, get off my lawn, and, you know, all these things, and, you know, Joe McCaig would say nearly every night, like, I don't try to be a crotchety old man, I just am, you know, and I kind of, like, I'm growing into that. I don't try to be, but, like, there are certain things that you've seen enough in life that you're just like, don't do that. And so the best way that I can tell you is, Don't try to share the gospel without using the word, without using the actual tool that God gave you, okay? And here, I'll explain what that means. Evangelism must come from the Word of God. Evangelism must come from the Word of God. A personal testimony is great. Like, telling somebody about what God did in your life is absolutely great. It is. But what about the promises of Scripture? What about what God actually said about salvation? If all you do is go tell somebody, you know, I got saved one day, and, you know, God did these really cool things in my life, and, man, you should come do this too, and now I'm a part of this church, and those are all great things. If you never got to what the Scripture says, what the Word of God says, what God actually says about the gospel, I'm going to tell you, you didn't really impact a life. And if you did, you've got them bought into something that they don't really understand what they're getting. Right? Here's what I mean. You could fail them. As good as you are, and I'm talking to the Passpoint people, so I understand. Like, you guys, you got this. Like, you're getting something done for the Lord. And as good as your testimony is, you could fail them. And I say that because I could fail them. And I'm no better. If what you're trying to sell somebody is only what's happened to you, you could fail them. Your testimony could fail them. You know what, though? Jesus won't. If you give them what Jesus said about their life, their natural sin condition, and the fact that he paid that price because he desired them, not the world. I know John 3:16, God so loved the world. Yes, he did. You're absolutely right. He's that big. But you know what else he did? He so loved you. And he would have done it if it was only you. If everybody else in the world was perfect, and yet you were just you, right? Not that you're not, well, you're not perfect. He would have done it anyway. It's really hot in here. he would have. And so it has to be personal, okay? Jesus will never fail them. Teaching point seven, personal evangelism must contain the Word of God. It has to. Personal evangelism must contain the Word of God at some point. And you might be like, well, I don't really know enough about Scripture and this, that, and the other. And I get it. You should know enough. And if you don't, we got this really cool thing called discipleship. And you know what we're not going to do? Just meet with you for 16 weeks and go through a lesson. Because if that's what's happening in your discipleship, you need to come talk to me and we need to rectify something. We're going to impart life into you. There's a guy that I respected a lot, and he always told me discipleship is the imparting of the soul. That's what it is, right? If discipleship was only sitting down and going through 16 lessons with Phil and Meredith, I don't believe they'd be where they are today, right? Really, Phil especially, right? Or Holly and Brady, right? I'm just, you know, people that we've had the opportunity to disciple, right? Why? Yeah, so I'm just like, you live life with them, okay? So anyway, use every tool in your bag, by the way. I'm a construction guy. I'm telling you, we build houses, I got a lot of tools. And I still could use a whole lot more, by the way. If you want to let my wife know, we could use some more tools, right? The tax lady says I need to buy more tools. Anyway.
The bank lady.
Yes. Use every tool in your bag, okay, when it comes to sharing the gospel. Your testimony is one of them, yes. But make sure you give them the Word at some point. It has to contain the Word of God. If we're like bouncing around all of the things just to get to like, oh, I just want to get you on the hook. No. The Word of God is what changes lives, not a personal testimony. The Word of God is what changes lives. I've been around long enough to see it. You know what I think is really cool for me? Because I didn't want anything to do with church when I got saved. God didn't use somebody coming in, and this is because typically I like to use my testimony when I evangelize. God didn't use somebody coming in giving me, you know, some testimony of how good God is, because I probably would have seen right through it. You know what he used? The Word of God. Through the preaching, and it was exactly what I needed. And that's what's going to change your life. Right? Personal testimony or various ministry activity, that's the bait. Right? And not that we're after like the bait and switch, but like that's the bait. Jesus is the hook. VBS, that's the bait. That's the lure that we're going to use for that week. Jesus is the hook. CSA, that's the bait to get people to come. The gospel is the hook. Right? All these different things that we do, that's the bait. Your testimony when you're sharing it with somebody, that's the bait. Jesus has to be the hook. Because if not, you know what's going to happen? If you've ever done any fishing in your life, you're going to have the biggest fish you've ever had, and it's going to get off right before it got there. Right? And nobody can tell you you're wrong because nobody ever saw it. Right? It's always the biggest fish that got away. Well, let me just tell you, like, if Jesus isn't the hook, they're going to get away. He just will. And I tell you this because it's so important. Because God... He desires to meet these people where they're at. But instead, we're talking about all these church activities that we've got. And we're talking about like, hey, come to do this with me and come to do that with me. And at some point, we never got the Word of God into their life. And at some point, they were like, you know what? You're just like all the other churches and you're just doing a bunch of things. No. You know what I'm doing? I'm doing the Word of God. I'm just trying to be obedient to what God told me to do. I sound like a fool most of the time. Right? But I'm a fool being obedient. And at some point, that needs to be enough. At some point, that needs to be enough for us. Like, you know what? I'm just a fool following Christ because he changed my life. Right? The Casting Crowns song. Like, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who changed my life. Like, I'm just a nobody. Don't ever try to be more than that or you're going to end up like Satan did with full pride. I'm just a nobody being obedient. Like, be okay to be a nobody that's just obedient. Because those are the people that are going to have the greatest blessing when we get there. Okay? Like, just be in the way. We're going to have to stop there. We'll get through the next three. Because I'm not doing any review next week. Okay? Just so you know. I've done too much review for like 3 weeks now. Gosh, dang it. I'm going to do a little bit of review in 2 weeks. But just enough so that we can get done with this and move on. We have Pass Point on Easter. Yes, there are ABFs on Easter. I'm positive.
No.
Is it Vision Conference that we don't?
Vision Conference will have
ABS. So we don't have Passpoint for 2 weeks, 3 weeks. I love Jesus.
That's how we have the event.
You're right. You guys are right. Okay, well, you know what? Come back on Wednesday, because I got 2 more weeks of marriage on Wednesday nights. Picking back up this week. So, okay, let's pray. We will pick this back up. This is really good, because if we got to evangelize. I really do want to keep moving through the book of Acts, but we got to evangelize. Okay, so anyway, happy birthday, Abby. Come to the VBS meeting after church. If you know that you want to get your name on something, catch Chris and Lauren in the back. They got the cool green shirts on, and they would love to talk to you, if not just be at the meeting after church. I really do appreciate you guys, and I know that half of the class isn't here for ministry activities, so whoever's listening to this, getting away is just proof that, like, this is where we belong. This is where God wants us right now, and we're just going to keep doing it until Jesus says to do something different, because I love the Word of God, I love teaching the Word of God, and I just love you guys, because you're doing it, and it's just real. And so anyway, let's pray. God's good, guys. And so if you want that link to some of the teaching from the discipleship conference, I really do encourage you to listen to all of it. But if not, just a couple of them for sure. It's so good. So let's pray. Father, I love you. Thank you for today. Thank you for being good to us. Thank you for your Word, Lord. If it wasn't for your Word, man, we would be hopeless. I would be so far messed up. But God, you used the Word of God to penetrate my heart, to change my life, to change my soul, to change my residence for eternity. And so, God, I do pray that you would just continue to use the Word of God through us as we impart it into other people, through evangelism that leads to discipleship, that leads to reproduction, that leads to, you know, not just addition like it was in the first part of the book of Acts, but multiplication. And it becomes something that we realize we couldn't do on our own, and that's the point. But you can, and you desire to use us. So, God, I just pray you'd speak to us today. Be with Pastor Brian as he preaches. And as he prepares to depart. And Lord, I just pray that you get the glory for all of that. Keep them safe. Be with their families. Lord, I just thank you. Thank you for the Passpoint class. They're just good, Lord. And I know that they want to be used by you. So just bless them this week. Bless our time in the Word as we're working through it as a class this week. Just get the glory for all of it. In Christ's name, amen.